on WPFW Washington.
Welcome to Africa Now. Today's show features post-washing the Rwanda DRC case. Africa Now is next. Welcome to the show. I'm Wiza Muntali. The music in the background is Opposite People by Fela Kuti, and we play that commemorating his birthday, which was on October 15. Today, Africa Now focuses on the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, continuing WPFW's special all-day justice, inclusion, and dignity in a free Congo. Our second annual day of emancipatory, informational, and inspirational programming centering Congolese sovereignty and decolonization, during which we explore all things Congo. First, I just want to thank the listeners for supporting DJ Abby celebrating Congolese women musicians today during our fall pledge drive and our special all-day justice, inclusion, and dignity in a free Congo. Also, I want to take this opportunity to thank a friend in Lanham with their generous donation at the end of our show last week, which enabled us to surpass our goal last week. And we weren't able to thank them on the air as the donation came in just as we were going off the air. Be in solidarity with WPFW and Africa Now again this week. Our goal this hour is $600, and you can be in solidarity with us by calling 1-800-222-9739. That's 800-222-9739. Or visit WPFWFM.org and hit the Donate Now button and scroll down to Africa Now. And you can also support WPFW and Africa Now on Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM, to reach our goal of $600 and hopefully beyond the goal. The theme of WPFW's fall pledge drive, which is from October 12 to the 25th, is music, memory, and social justice. WPFW has offered inspiring music, poignant stories, and critical journalism for over 48 years, whether reminiscing while hearing Nina Simone or learning about the harm done due to gross global inequity. WPFW has been the soundtrack for moments of revelation, joy, sadness, and resistance. It's your generosity that allows us to continue this tradition of expansive, emancipatory excellence in community radio. We ask you again to be in solidarity with WPFW during our fall pledge drive today by donating at WPFWFM.org or calling 800-222-9739 or on our Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM. And that would hopefully enable us to reach our goal and hopefully beyond the goal as well. There's only one WPFW and only one you, the listener, who is committed to keeping independent music and message available to the people. Your generosity sustains and challenges us to build a better world, one broadcast at a time. In the context of WPFW's fall pledge drives theme and WPFW's special all-day justice, inclusion, and dignity in a free Congo, our second annual day of emancipatory, informational, and inspirational programming centering Congolese sovereignty and decolonization, during which we explore all things Congo. Today, the show focuses on the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC. The show today impacts sports washing, the Rwanda DRC case, with activist Claude Gatabuke, who is the co-founder and executive director of African Great Lakes Action Network, and he is co-author of the book Survivors Uncensored. Here is my conversation yesterday with Claude Gatebuke, unpacking sports washing, the Rwanda DRC case.
Claude Gatebuke, welcome to the show. I should say welcome back to the show.
Yes.
And so today we wanted to look at sports washing, looking at Rwanda and DRC in particular. But if you could kind of bring us up to speed of the situation between Rwanda and DRC, and then we can talk about, expand a bit more on sports washing.
The sports washing in relation to the DRC, and you know, knowing that this week is Congo week, sports washing is used to launder Rwanda's image, much like Rwanda and Uganda are used as transit points where blood minerals and conflict minerals are laundered and retagged. So the term sports washing is applicable to Rwanda especially, because Rwanda is the regime in Rwanda depends heavily on keeping a pristine reputation, a reputation of an army that stopped a genocide in 1994 and now is leading one of the most progressive countries, a country that is making great economic strides, a place where there is no longer ethnicity and things like that. And that in the world for the last 30 years has ignored a deliberate war of aggression that has resulted in a genocide in the Congo, the war of aggression by Rwanda and Uganda invading Congo and occupying many parts of the Congo, Rwandan troops committing genocide in the Congo. This was also documented in a place in the UN mapping report, UN mapping exercise report that was released on October 10th, 2010, which named the crimes. It was just the most egregious, the gravest of crimes against humanity. So it was crimes against humanity, war crimes, and they said possible genocide. And the possible genocide was, they basically said, if taken to a competent court, it could be seen that Rwandan troops would have committed genocide in the Congo. The facts that we have is that the crimes that have been committed in the Congo, that are still being committed in the Congo today, they meet the definition of genocide. Intent to kill in whole or in part a group, or to exterminate a group based on ethnicity, national background, religion, and based on national background, Congolese people are being exterminated and displaced. They're being displaced by Rwandan troops that call themselves the M23, and much of the world refers to it as a conflict, which is actually a deliberate invasion. Much of the world refers to it as tribalism. Much of the world in Rwanda frames it as there is an impending genocide in the Congo that they're going there to stop, and basically needs the world to believe them. And so part of what the sports washing does, where they have all of these advertisement on teams, with teams like Arsenal. They previously had it with Bayern Munich, and Bayern Munich is now refused to re-sign the contract. A lot of the fans for Arsenal are also calling for the contract not to be renewed. Arsenal is a soccer team in in England. Bayern Munich is a German football soccer club, and they also have Paris Saint-Germain. And what is interesting, when you look at Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain, they have ties to the Emirates. And the Emirates has investments in Rwanda. So there is all of that. But at the end of the day, it's also the NBA is a part of it now. The NBA started out with building a league, NBA Africa, or I believe what is also known as Giants of Africa. The person who actually was a part of getting that started, Masai Ujiri, was a general manager for the Toronto Raptors. And Masai Ujiri is friends with Paul Kagame. This is not a secret. This is easy to see and easy to find. The Basketball Africa League has they are based in Rwanda, in Kigali, and also in Dakar, Senegal. With Senegal, you can understand. I mean, even in the NBA, in the US, you have Senegalese players. In European leagues, you have Senegalese players. When you look at global competitions, you see Senegalese teams. So basketball is a big sport, at least a sport that is competent enough on the global stage in Senegal, but not in Rwanda. We haven't seen Rwanda in global competitions. We haven't seen any Rwandans in any professional leagues other than Frank Ntilikina, who is a French Rwandan basketball player who played in the NBA, and he was not born in Rwanda, never played in Rwanda, actually refused to associate himself with the regime in Rwanda. He plays for France. He was born in Belgium. That's about all the history that Rwanda has in basketball. But the NBA now is also starting a campaign, a Visit Rwanda campaign, with a team, Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers is their star player is Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard this summer was I'm actually a fan of his game. He was on the Toronto Raptors team when they won the NBA, and Masai Ujiri was the general manager. This summer, they both went to Rwanda to start or to set up a new basketball infrastructure. I believe Kawhi was just there for promotion. Masai Ujiri is there to for investment and creating that league building that infrastructure. Now that they're back, you know, just a couple months after, you know, the summer after they came back, we saw Los Angeles Clippers and the Los Angeles Chargers, who I believe are owned by the same person, same owner, majority owner, both start a Visit Rwanda campaign. For basketball, it makes sense because basketball is a global game. For American football, the NFL fans are not really, you know, fans that are necessarily global. Even when they play games in places like Brazil and Mexico and the UK and Germany, you know, all of these games, these are in places that have large populations of expatriate Americans and a lot of the fans. This isn't a global game, at least not yet. But at the same time, Rwanda needs to cleanse its image. And basically what they're doing is creating association. So four main things. One is association by proxy, basically by attaching themselves to a team or prestigious global events. By the way, sports watching doesn't stop with teams. It also is with events. Rwanda just held the World Cycling Championship, and they're trying to host Formula One. So association by proxy is basically they're attaching themselves to these popular teams and prestigious global events, basically, which they hope that those brands will be associated with the passion that people have for sports. the unity that sports brings, and also that people would not think about the atrocities that they are committing, because as we know, when somebody is a fan or fanatic, they are willing to close their eyes to whatever wrongdoing is being done. Number two is a distraction or diversion, because when the coverage is about sports and stadium developments and other things, the headlines about the atrocities that Rwanda is committing in the Congo, or even the internal and transnational repression that is that happens, that is practiced by the regime in Rwanda, is completely forgotten. The third is legitimization, because basically it lends an air of legitimacy and normalcy to the regime that otherwise would be criticized by the international community. It gives the international community also a way to hide and just, you know, point to, oh, see, they held a successful world cycling event. Oh, you see, they are working with these global teams, and you can be distracted, and also it will look legitimate, because usually what happens, if you look at what happened with Russia, right? Rwanda should be banned from any international competitions, especially FIFA, because of the invasion of Congo, if we're to look at what happened when Russia invaded Ukraine. The same way that apartheid South Africa was isolated. By the way, it's the same thing. There is actually a campaign to ban Israel from taking part in international competition because of the genocide they're committing in Gaza, in Palestine. Number four, the fourth point is influence and access. When these investments happen into sporting events or sports teams, which Rwanda is paying millions and millions of dollars, by the way, it's one of the poorest countries in the world, paying some of the richest clubs in the world. It provides access to powerful political and business circles for Rwanda and its regime, and opens doors that might otherwise be closed due to sanctions or ethical concerns. So that's kind of the general picture. I named the players and kind of a little bit of the background.
Wow,
it's,
yeah,
basically to promote the image of a dictatorship, the image of a country whose military is committing genocide in its neighbor, and to legitimize that regime by distracting people from actually looking at the atrocity it's committing and focusing on the entertainment. Thankfully, there are fans at Bayern Munich that pushed for it to end. There are fans at Arsenal now that are pushing for it to end. And so some of these things might end up anyway not working out, because it's actually bringing about the attention that they probably were trying to hide by using sports washing and to launder their image.
Again, that's Claude Gadebuke, and he's the co-founder and executive director of the African Great Lakes Action Network. And he's also co-author of the book, Survivors Uncensored. And I wanted you mentioned the 4 points of why the countries like Rwanda do the sports washing, and also in the context of why they're doing it because of the actions in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And that is because they've been supporting the M23, which you mentioned briefly in your analysis, but not the actual framework, not the actual reason why they've been trying to hide that what they've been doing, and which has been exposed. If you could expand a bit on that especially, and then we can also come back to some of the players that you mentioned.
So you're referring to the M23, which is there is a tendency to refer to the M23 as a rebel group, a Congolese rebel group. And that is a big, major misnomer. And it's not correct, because We know what a rebel group looks like, whether it's on the African continent or in Asia or South America. Even militias in America, they're usually ragtag, uniforms don't match, you know, they are ill-equipped. Some of them have guns, some of them don't. And when you look at the M23, it looks like a totally conventional army. Their equipment, from their uniform to their equipment and everything. So the M23, I want to start with the background that, first of all, it's not new. This is a reincarnation and renaming, rebranding of the invasion by Rwanda and Uganda into the Congo since 1996.
Again, that's Claude Katebuke. He is talking about sports washing by Rwanda in the context of the conflict in the DRC. And you're listening to Africa Now, special Africa Now today, as we're looking at the Democratic Republic of the Congo all day on WPFW as part of our fall fun drive. And this all-day special is Justice, Inclusion, and Dignity in a Free Congo. And actually, we started off early in the morning with Katia Stitt, who is the program director and also host of Morning Brew every Wednesdays. And I keep saying the wrong title of your show, Katia. Katia is with me as well.
The Beyond Borders
Beyond
Edition.
Borders Edition.
That's yes, right. And the co-hosting with Herb Taylor, who alternates with me now. So I was on this morning, Herb was on last week.
That's right, yeah. And yeah. It was great. We had great conversations with Congolese women activists. And
oh, yes.
As well as the music as well. It was fantastic music from the Congo. And this only happens on stations such as this, your community station, WPFW.
Absolutely, Mwiza. And I want to encourage everyone to go to the phones now. We had a little problem earlier with our phone lines, but they are definitely working now. And so we ask you to pledge your support that which supports you. A fascinating discussion on sports washing and general entertainment washing. And we also know that people can make a difference with athletes or artists not going to Rwanda. The Nigerian singer, very popular, Tems, was supposed to go. And people got to her and protested and said, her fans said, oh, you can't do that because of what's happening in Congo. And then she told Rwanda, sorry, I can't come. So the people do have the power, just like they have the power to sustain independent media here in Washington, D.C., and to sustain a wonderful, wonderful decades-long program now in Africa Now, so well produced by you, Mwiza, and James Pope, bringing us all things regarding Africa and the African diaspora. So on this very special day, I think it's most appropriate on Africa Now to make that pledge of support by calling 800-222-9739 or going online to WPFWFM.org. We have $600 to go. And when you make your pledge, especially during Africa Now, please put in there Free Congo. You know, it's that kind of day. It's a Congo takeover. And we're saying we're standing in solidarity with the Congo. We are asking you to stand in solidarity with the good work of Africa Now and Mwiza Mutale and the incredible guests that he brings, educating us on the continent all day, every day that he's on. And that James Pope is on. Absolutely. We learned so much. I even learned things just as now listening to you and Claude. And so it's important. This is an educational, liberatory outlet, and it's here for the people. So the people must support it. 800-222-9739. You can also go online to WPFWFM.org. We have $600 still to go and about 36 minutes to do it. So please make that call or that click that makes the difference.
Yes, and I hope we can even go over the $600 to make up a shortfall overall goal for the station so that we can bring you the guests like Claude Katebuke and others. Earlier on, you heard Akili Male Choma Choma on my colleague's friend's show, We the People, early on. And he was directly coming to us from the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC. And that's all happens because of your continued support over the last 48 years, making sure that WPFW is here. Call 800-222-9739. And you can also go to the website, wpfwfm.org. And you can also do the Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM. And also text 801-801. And there'll be instructions. Follow the instructions after that. We're going to go back to Claude Katebuke, who is talking to us about sports washing, the Rwanda DRC case.
Occupation of the Congo. And they have used multiple names, multiple acronyms to create confusion and to pretend that there is something new happening. But when you look at the players, you look at the commanders, you look at Rwandan commanders who've been named in reports, Ugandans, Ugandan troops in the Congo. And even these M23 soldiers who, some of the leaders, like Sultan Makenga, for example, they are part of the original invasion of the Congo by Rwanda and Uganda and are still going strong today. So that's one important thing that I would like to just make sure that the audience understands, because a lot of times when we start calling them rebel group, it confuses people. And they think, oh, it's just a Congolese thing. No, this is an invasion. Number two, the M23, which is basically Rwandan troops and Ugandan troops, has a background of committing horrific atrocities, things like amputating women's genitals, things like burning people alive, things like putting people in mass graves alive. They have a history of torture, a history of, when we talk about the number of victims in the Congo being more than 6 million, and majority of them being children under the age of 5, it's a result of this invasion by Rwanda and Uganda that is today known as the M23 rebellion. Now, the world has acknowledged that Rwanda is playing a hand in what is happening in the Congo. There has been a lot of media coverage on the atrocities committed by these Rwandan troops invading the Congo, calling themselves the M23. There were even sanctions earlier, including the U.S. actually sanctioning a Rwanda's number two, General James Kabarebe. So Rwanda is involved in one of the longest running, one of the deadliest genocides in modern times. At minimum, the second largest, if not the largest, in the Congo since, other than, second to King Leopold's, who was a Belgian colonizer of the Congo, who had more than 10 million people massacred. So those are the type of crimes that Rwanda is committing in the Congo. They've displaced people that, when you look at the amount of people who have died and who have been displaced, they are more than the population of Rwanda. The total population of Rwanda, if you look at total death toll plus total displaced, in fact, total death toll might be as much as or even more than the total number of Rwandans, total Rwandan population. So they've committed serious atrocities. And in doing so, they still depend much on the PR that shows them as a morally legitimate regime that stopped the genocide. And they refuse and try everything to not be recognized for the genocidal regime that they actually are, and for the genocide they're committing in the Congo. Much like Israel, there is a reluctance to acknowledge and to accept that they actually are committing this level of a genocide in the Congo. And the sports washing is an important part of actually laundering the image of these war criminals. And by the way, also helps with access to influence, and that influence continues to lead to aid multilateral organizations like the World Bank and the IMF, who are giving millions and millions of dollars to Rwanda, bilateral donors like the US and the UK. You have the European Union pumping money into Rwanda and Rwanda's military. They get training, and they have all of these things that they are receiving from their Western backers. By the way, as I talk about these crimes and these invasions by Rwanda and Uganda, these are two of the poorest countries in the world. But yet, they've been able to carry out the longest war of this century, the longest genocide of this century. And that's because they have the support of their Western backers, the US, the UK, and the European Union, who continue to pump money into the regime. So besides that, the sports washing also helps the supporters. It helps the entities and countries and bilateral and multilateral organizations that continue to pump money into a regime that's committing genocide, because the sports washing actually launders that image and makes them look legitimate. And so that's the importance of the sports washing in relation to the atrocities being committed in the Congo by troops, Rwandan and Ugandan troops that call themselves the M23 in the Congo.
Yeah, thanks for that. And also I wanted to expand on the agents of the sports washing. You mentioned briefly the United Arab Emirates, UAE, and of course, and even when you mentioned at the beginning of the analysis of sports washing, when you gave that very rich contextualization at the beginning of the points of the sports washing, you mentioned there was the issue of Arsenal plays in the Emirates Stadium. If you could expand a bit about that aspect, because you have also the UAE, which has relations, and also the use of the Emirates airline, which most people don't realize is actually owned. It's a government agency of the UAE, and how that's used in the sports washing.
First of all, let me just start with the UAE itself using sports washing to promote its image. Emirates, the owners of Manchester City, one of the largest, largest clubs, biggest clubs, richest clubs, has won lots of trophies in recent times in soccer, is Sheikh Mansour and Abu Dhabi United Group that has actually boosted the club's international profile and also the profile and perception of Abu Dhabi. So that's one thing. Secondly, the Emirates, the stadium in Arsenal is Emirates Stadium. And the Rwandan government is also connected to the UAE, in that one thing that I think I missed when I talked about the M23, that war is a war of plunder. The violence is happening so that people can be displaced. The goal is to plunder and steal the resources of the Congo, and a lot of it is actually smuggled through the UAE. Earlier today I was speaking at the African Bar Association conference, the annual
You said
African
smuggled. Bar Association you conference. Said I couldn't hear you properly. You said smuggled through the UAE, right?
They smuggled through Rwanda and then sent to the UAE, Rwanda and Uganda. So, for example, and then I'll go to the other connection with Rwanda. So the Arsenal, which was the first major club to have Visit Rwanda, which is what is being one of the biggest brand using being used for sports washing, is sponsored by its stadium. It used to be known as Highbury Stadium. They built a new stadium, and that stadium is known as the Emirates Stadium. And that's because the primary sponsor is the Emirates Airline. Now, there are multiple teams that carry this Emirates name or sponsorship, but connecting it to Rwanda, Rwanda Air is also partly owned by the by Emirates. And so it's not, there are projects in Rwanda that are being carried out, major projects, major infrastructure projects that are being carried out by the Emirates in Rwanda. And so it's the connection from club to country that is needing actually the two countries, both the Emirates
Is it Qatar, the other one?
There's also Qatar. Qatar also has some investments in Rwanda, the new airport that's being built in Rwanda. But that new airport has been built for decades now. I don't know when they're going to finish, but this airport is, the Qataris have a stake in it. By the way, now today, Qatar has become a so-called mediator in one of the latest so-called peace deals for Congo. There has been dozens of peace deals in the Great Lakes region that involved the regime in Rwanda, whether it's the time when there were rebels in Rwanda or since the invasion of Congo. And now the latest is Qatar is involved. So you've got the Emirates connection with Rwanda just through Arsenal alone is, you know, the Emirates Airlines. And then you have Qatar being involved in those in projects in Rwanda. And today, I believe what they're doing or wanting is to set up Rwanda to legitimize Rwanda's smuggling of the resources in Congo through what they're calling a peace deal. Basically for Rwanda to annex the Congo and supply minerals, critical minerals that are needed today in the building of AI was used in the tech revolution of yesterday, where the gadgets and devices, electronic gadgets and devices that we use have coltan, which comes from Congo. We're talking about the lithium for electric cars coming out of Congo, and so many of these critical minerals that Qatar is wanting access to and to sell to the global market, especially to a lot of these Western tech companies. And what they are, the connections now with the peace deal, it's really more like a minerals access deal, where they're trying to set it up to where Congo basically loses sovereignty to its own mines and resources and even national parks, that have to have Rwanda managing those. That's kind of, that came out of a peace deal in Washington, D.C., but that's the Qatar process is a continuation of the deal from Washington. And so it's a whole mix, but at the end of the day, really to simplify it, Qatar and the Emirates are in for the resources, to exploit the resources of the Congo, and they are partnering with the West, which has been traditionally much of the profiteers of the smuggled and plundered resources out of the Congo into, in some cases, countries that are rarely ever mentioned in connection with plundering and human rights violations. Countries like Canada, where you have Canadian mining firms that provide the capital and technical legitimacy for dubious concessions, and who also have are exploiting Congo's minerals. You have Swiss commodity traders that launder and launder these conflict minerals through their supply chains. You got Australian companies. You have Qatari investment that basically provides the global convergence of capital, profiting from the violations happening in the Congo. So it's a long, organized crime in the Congo, and it's not a internal war. It's not just a regional war. It's not even a war. It's a genocide and displacement that's happening in the Congo. It's global. There are global players that are involved in this. And so the laundering of the image of Rwanda is really important because, again, it legitimizes minerals coming out of Rwanda and Uganda, of course, but especially Rwanda, because that's who especially needs the laundering of the image. It legitimizes the resources coming out of there on the global market.
Claude Kadebuke, and he is the co-founder and executive director of African Great Lakes Action Network, and he's also co-author of the book Survivors Uncensored. That's about the survivors from the Rwanda genocide. He actually is from Rwanda. He's one of the survivors of the Rwanda genocide. And he's talking to us about sports washing, the Rwanda DRC case. And also with me in the studio today on this special all-day programming, focusing on the DRC, justice, inclusion, and dignity in the pre-Congo, is Katia Stitt, the program director here at WPFW.
Hey, Mwiza. Thank you. Hey. I'm happy to be here with you. We still are in need of $410. Folks, we have 19 minutes to do it together. And we're encouraged, though, because we got people calling now. Keep it up, 800-222-9739, 800-222-9739. Or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. And we want to say thank you to a friend in Youngstown, Ohio. And you know, Mwiza, that friend in Youngstown, see, look at that. Look at the patriarchy. Look how the patriarchy shows up. I say he immediately.
Yeah,
That
wasn't me. That was Katia.
I know. Youngstown is always in the house. So thank you. And they're saying thank free you. Congo. They heard the call. Free them all. Free Congo. Thank you so much. We also want to say thank you to Abigail. How do I feel like this is the Abigail we know out of Brentwood, Maryland? She also says, free Congo. Africa Now is richly informative, giving us information we need to build a future that includes all. That's right, Abby. Free Congo, free Africa.
Thank you so much.
And we also want to say thank you to Robert out of Vienna, Virginia. And he says, thanks for the greatest community radio station on earth. And we don't disagree, Robert. Thank you so much for your pledge. And this is the greatest African programming that we have in, I would say, throughout the world, but certainly in this country.
Oh, wow.
Africa Now is head and shoulders above. And I've heard other programming on other stations, just saying, and on the internet. And Africa Now, the work that Mwiza Mutale and James Pope do, the insightful, research-based, scholarship-based programming that they then bring to the air, because this is their work outside. You know that, right? They bring all of that richness to our air, and we benefit. We get the education. We get the inspiration to do something to help lift Africa, and specifically today, the Congo, bring it to full liberation. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the richness of the Congo being in service to the Congolese people. That is equity, y'all. That is what it looks like. It's not anything else you've heard. Claude exemplified it so beautifully when he talked about these deals and how interwoven the Arab world is, frankly. UAE, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, they're all there. You know, you mentioned one other one. They're all there, and they're all there because
Qatar.
They're all there, and it's no surprise that they're also all involved in what's happening with Palestine. You see, so
and Sudan.
You know, and I'm thinking if you dig enough, you'll see that all of these players also involved in almost every place that there are resources to be stolen. where there are resources, they will be, just like the U.S., just like France, Belgium, U.K., all the rest. So all of that is what Africa Now brings us on this very special day. We want to thank more of you saying Free Congo, $410 to go, 16 minutes to do it, y'all. I feel very energized. I think we can do this.
Yeah, I think we can do it. Yeah, we can do it. Make it two. To make it two for two, like let's do
that's
two
right.
for two.
Yes, for two. Yeah. And also, Mwiza's contribution to today, we have to say, is not just this program. He is one of the curators of today, along with our dear brother Maurice Carney. So we are a little, you know, trilogy or triumphant or whatever you want to call us.
Together with our program director, I should say, because he is who spearheaded this. Well,
we are a cabal, as they say, in the best way. We are a cabal, and we are a cabal for the Congo and for the people in general. So $410. Let's do this together, folks. Many hands do indeed make light work. 800-222-9739. Felix Lindair.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Felix is very much a friend of the show. Thank you very much, of Lindiri and Associates. Thanks for your support.
Ah, Lindiri. Sorry, Mr. Lindiri. I mispronounced your name. Thank you so much. 360 to go, y'all. I know Maurice, I know that Mwiza has more for us, so we won't hold him, but we want to get back to the conversation. And while you're listening, make that call, make that click that makes the difference. 800-222-9739. Let's exceed this goal. We only need $360, or go online to WPFWFM.
And we're going to have a little bit more of the conversation with Claude Gatabuke on sports washing, the Rwanda DRC case.
Before we go, I just wanted to connect also the dots because you had the Emirates, the Emirates being involved in the NBA, for instance. There's the new tournament which they're sponsoring as well here, you know, the NBA in mid-season. I think it's called the Emirates Cup or something like that. And then you also have Emirates supporting the Premier League in the United Kingdom, the football, what is known here in the United States as soccer, being involved, and that connection in Rwanda and Congo, which you so eloquently dissected about that connection and the connection with the minerals going out through the various players. I wondered if you could sort of wrap it up and just connect us with the regional and the beyond the African continent players, some of you named and maybe some of you maybe have left out. And also you had mentioned at the beginning that there is a backlash now about this sports washing by fans of the various teams involved in this campaign.
I think we can break it down across, you know, by the sports, especially since we're talking Emirates. Emirates has a large global sports sponsorship portfolio. They sponsor football or soccer teams. The Premier League is the official global airline partner for the Premier League, as you just mentioned. And this, you know, their logo is visible on interview backdrops around the fields. And it's the, you know, in all official league branding worldwide. And it also sponsored major clubs, the biggest being Real Madrid, one of the biggest, I think it is actually the biggest football or soccer club out of Spain. Then you have Milan in Italy, another one of the like global giants in the sports. And they are a shirt sponsor. Usually that's how it happens. And then there's Arsenal from England. And then you have Lyon in France, Olympique Lyonnais in France, and Benfica in Portugal. Those are some of the biggest teams in world soccer. They've also in the past sponsored the Champions League, which is the biggest, and Europa League. Those are two of the biggest. Actually, they are the two biggest, largest, most profitable tournaments or leagues in a sense, but they are actually tournament style. The Champions League, the winner of the Champions League is usually known as like the top team in the world, the top club, which is usually probably a lot better than any national team for the most part. And then they've also sponsored the FIFA World Cup. In basketball, they are the official global airline partner of the NBA since 2022. And this is the first ever league-wide jersey patch for the NBA. So every team has a jersey patch that for Emirates. It appears on the jerseys of all referees during games. And jersey patch partner, like they have a dedicated team deal for the teams. And they also sponsor the Milwaukee Bucks. They have their jersey. They have a jersey patch on Emirates jersey patch for the Milwaukee Bucks, which is also an NBA team that won a championship in 2022. And then there's Formula One, there's tennis, there's rugby, there's horse racing. So they are all over. They're all over the place in terms of, you know, just being involved in all of these sports. I know you asked about football or soccer and just the NBA, but I wanted to also add these other leagues, at least mention them, or these other sports, which, you know, the sports washing is just... It's all over. It's like a broader, it's a geopolitical strategy by the Emirates.
And before we go, if you could mention the, some of, you said that there were campaigns which some of the sports fans, you mentioned that in Bayern Munich, I don't know if there are others within the sports field that are speaking out on this issue.
So in Germany,
unfortunately, we are running out of time, so we won't be able to play that. But it'll be available on Africa Now's SoundCloud page. That's Africa Now online on SoundCloud. And we still have $360 to go, Katia.
I know.
To make our goal. So,
but we're going to do it, Mwiza. We're going to do it. You know, the people are going to call 800-222-9739, or they're going to go online to WPFWFM.org. And what is the Cash App, Mwiza?
The Cash App is the $ WPFWFM. And they can also text on their phones at 801-801, and it's WPFW. Is it
WPFWFM? No. WPFWFM.
FM. And they get the instructions of what to do there so that we can make the goal and also to ensure that WPFW continues to have programs such as our that you're listening to right now and that you'll be listening to the rest of the day, which are focused on countries, issues which are not widely amplified in the so-called mainstream media.
That's right. And we can only do this work with you all. I know many of you are so delighted that we are doing this. We've heard many of you to say that they're happy. We did a sports washing event actually with Claude, with Mwiza. He was on the panel, Maurice. Shout out to Eleanor Goldfield from Project Censored, our moderator. We did that on Sunday at Red Emma's in Baltimore. And all of this that we do here, you make possible. So please, Africa Now does such fine work. Really, this one is one of the stellar shows on WPFW. $360 to go. We still have 7 minutes. Even though Mwiza has to leave you before then, you can continue to call. And you can even call after the top of the hour to support that which supports you in the form of Africa Now. So again, $360. Perhaps you'll become a sustaining member at the $22.50 level. That would give us $240, Mwiza. And if we have two people doing that, we will exceed the goal and we will be very happy. And yes, when you call.
That's possible.
Yeah, exactly. And when you call and make a pledge of support today, say free Congo. Free Congo. That is the aim. You know, one goal, one aim, one destiny, as Marcus Garvey would say.
Thanks, Katia. That's Katia Stitt, Program Director at WPFW. Up next is Headline News, which is followed by Shanana with Zain Alamin, which continues our special programming on Congo with Kambale Musavuli, looking at the intersectionality of the Congolese and Palestinian struggles. And also after that is Willa Jenkins presenting the soundtrack of a coup d'etat, looking at the music in the Democratic Republic of Congo in the form of jazz. And I'm your host, Wisdom Tali. Our executive producer is James Pope, who's also the co-host. And also I want to thank the Africa World Now Project Collective of Dr. Tasmin Siddiqui, Dr. Keisha Conferry, Dr. Josh Myers, and Kurt Odison, and our research fellow volunteers, Chanda Koza and Funangonda. Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great week.
For Pacifica, I'm Lauren Schmidt. The 22-day federal government shutdown is now the second longest in U.S. history. Democrats have made health care funding their central priority in negotiations. KPFA's Kennedy Cuello reports.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, in a news conference about the shutdown, said it is time to make health care a priority because it is a priority to voters.
To deal with the fact that America under Donald Trump, including because of his tariffs, has become far too expensive, and the Republicans are doing nothing about it.
About 6 in 10 Americans are extremely or very concerned about their health costs going up in the next year. A survey from the Associated Press National Opinion Research Center for Public Affairs finds healthcare a worry that extends across age groups and includes people with and without health insurance. For KPFA News, I'm Kennedy Cuello.
With the federal government shutdown now stretching into its fourth week, potential cuts to food assistance programs could begin as soon as November. In fiscal year 2024, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program served an average of 41.7 million Americans each month. That's about 12% of the United States population. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom deployed the state's National Guard to assist food banks as federal benefits stall for 5.5 million Californians. President Donald Trump said he could be seeking $230 million in compensation from the Department of Justice for past investigations into him, an unprecedented move that would involve his own administration paying him taxpayer funds. Speaking to the reporters in the Oval Office Tuesday, Trump confirmed a New York Times report that he had filed complaints over what he calls politically motivated probes during his first term.
And how much are you asking
for? Well, I guess they probably owe me a lot of money for that.
The request comes as Trump continues to argue that the Justice Department was weaponized against him, citing the two federal indictments that were dropped after his re-election last year. Hundreds of demonstrators took to the streets Tuesday night after Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents carried out raids in Manhattan's Chinatown, detaining an unknown number of people. Witnesses said an armored vehicle rolled through the area, and onlookers were pushed back as agents moved through the crowded streets. Hours later, protesters gathered outside 26 Federal Plaza, where they believed detainees were being held. Israel has identified the bodies of two additional hostages that were killed in the October 7, 2023 Hamas attack. Their remains were returned to Israel, where the military plans a formal ceremony. Since the ceasefire began on October 10th, the remains of 15 hostages have been recovered, with 13 still missing. Meanwhile, officials say over 50 Palestinians killed in recent fighting will be buried Wednesday. Visiting Israel, U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance expressed optimism about the fragile truce despite renewed violence. Haya Pandwani has more on the Vice President's visit.
Vice President Vance and other White House envoys showed optimism over how the ceasefire is playing out in the Middle East. They said progress was better than anticipated as they visited a new center in Israel for civilian and military cooperation. Vance also urged a little patience as Hamas returns the bodies of hostages to Israel.
This is difficult. This is not going to happen overnight. Some of these hostages are buried under thousands of pounds of rubble. Some of the hostages, nobody even knows where they are. That doesn't mean we shouldn't work to get them, and that doesn't mean